why I quit my job to do YouTube full time, and why you probably shouldn't. Hi, my name is Pete. This is the Studio Live Today podcast, where my goal is to help you create, record, and release your best music. But we're doing things a little bit differently in this week's show because I wanted to share with you 10 different things, different factors that I hadn't really considered or thought about, and perhaps you need to consider before you take the plunge of turning that side hustle maybe into a full-time gig. And before we get started, if you want to do it, yeah, go for it. I'm not here to tell you what to do. My golden rule is you do you, boo. This is the Studio Live Today podcast. As I mentioned, if you're watching the video version, you can go down to the bottom section there. You can hit the thumbs up button if you're enjoying the show. I'm only 1 minute in, but you might enjoy it anyway. You can also leave comments down there. I'd love to hear your experience. Are you considering this? Are you pondering telling the boss to go shove it and starting up a full-time creative career, whether it be in music creation, joining a band and going on tour, maybe you want to be a roadie, or you want to do similar to what I do and be a content creator, an influencer, darling? Yeah, maybe you want to go down that track. If you are listening on the audio version, we love you just as much. If you're listening on a podcatcher, please consider leaving a rating or a review. And if you want to hit me up, I'm always available at pete@studiolivetoday.com or just head over to studiolivetoday.com. You can see all the ways you can interact with me. You can join the Patreon, become a community member, leave a donation. We love you. Or just listen in, sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and we will dive into this. So we're going to go through the 10 different factors, different things in a little minute. But first, it's story time. Story time with Johns. I'm going to tell you the story of how this all came about, how I am the lucky one that gets to do this as a full-time gig. So I worked in the corporate world for 25 years. I worked in customer service, sales, marketing, customer experience. I ran satisfaction, customer satisfaction programs. So I know all about my CSAT and my NPS scores and all that sort of jazz. It's a whole different life for me. And I enjoyed it. At the crux of it, I was happy to be employed. I was paid decent money for doing hard work. Look, did I wake up every morning like and do a little dance and a jig and go, I'm off to the factory? No, but I definitely appreciated the job that I had. So it wasn't that I, you know, I had to drag myself out of bed every day and trudge to work and hated every minute of it. And look, I know that that's the case for many folks. And to those folks, I'd say, if you can find a way out, please try to, because you don't want to be miserable. You spend more time at work than you do with your family a lot of the time. So you need it to be at least a pleasant environment if you possibly can. And I know some people are like, I'd love to get out, Johns, but you know those things called bills. I do. And we'll talk about that when we dive in. So I was doing this corporate gig, and on the side, I started thinking, I want to start creating music again, but I didn't really know how to. And I couldn't really find the resources that I needed to learn, because I wanted to use GarageBand. I'm like, oh, I got this GarageBand thing on my phone. I want to record with that. So yeah, there were things like the GarageBand guide around, and some folks were covering it a little bit, but most real recording was done on a Mac or on a PC. So for an iPhone or an iPad, wasn't a whole lot going on. So I'm like, I'm going to start up a YouTube channel. I'm going to call it Studio Live Today, because I could get studiolivetoday.com. It pretty much was as simple as that. So back in 2016, I registered studiolivetoday.com, and I started creating videos more for me to learn. So I'd read the Apple manual, and then I'd kind of show a feature of GarageBand. And what happened is, over a long period of time, we're not talking days or weeks or months, we're talking years, between 2016 and about 2018, I'd built up a few thousand subscribers, and I had about 100 videos on the channel. And I'm like, hey, this is pretty cool. So I started taking it a little more seriously and making more videos and sharing more content. And the more I did, the more I built up this collection and this back catalogue of videos, the more people could come in and watch a bunch of videos. So no longer were people just coming in, getting the answer for one thing and leaving. They were coming in to learn about how to use the EQ in GarageBand, and then going, oh, this bloke's covering the delay and the reverb and how to hook up a guitar and how to plug in an audio interface. So I built up this sort of evergreen catalog of content, which meant that the channel continued to grow. That's what everyone says, isn't it? Help me grow the channel. Everyone wants their channel to grow, and mine was growing at a reasonable rate. Q2019 and 2020, and I started doing some cool things like Songtember that many of you may know about, where we do a song in a month challenge, started building a Facebook page, create, record, release Facebook group, which has got 1,500 members now, lots of very cool people over there, and really started engaging more. Before, it was very much just a one-way thing. And then I started engaging with this wonderful community and having two-way conversations, started interviewing people, started just really building up this, for mine, a reputation as someone who, hey, this is just a regular weekend warrior bloke, but he just happens to know a bit about recording and he's going to share that with you. He's not going to be a professional and say you've got to use Pro Tools and spend tens of thousands of dollars. He's going to say, yeah, grab yourself a $50 audio interface, whack it into your iPhone and start recording, because why not? So that's where we got to. Around about 2020, something happened in the world. We don't need to go into what it was or how it happened, but you know what I'm talking about here. And suddenly, some things started changing. One of the changes that was positive is that even more people were diving into YouTube. Folks were stuck at home, so they were wanting to learn about how to create, record, and release music. And I just happened to have, at that point, a back catalogue of nearly 1,000 videos that helped people create, record, and release music. So people were diving into my old stuff, and because I was at home with not a whole lot to do, I started doing daily videos. I started doing live streams a lot more. I started sharing a lot more content, and got to the point where I was doing one, sometimes two videos every day. And that really gave the channel a boost, which happened to be really amazing timing, because at the same time that was happening, the corporate world weren't doing too good. And I worked in sales and marketing for a fairly large company who made a decision that they needed a few less people in their workforce. So there was some redundancy in my role. And I thought at the time, The universe is lining up here. Like, I don't believe in the whole, you know, everything is predetermined. I think everyone can control their destiny. But sometimes you also need to identify and take opportunities when they arise. And this was that opportunity. So being that when you are made redundant, instead of you just quitting and leaving and get nothing, they generally give you a little payout to leave. I thought, yep, this is the time. So at that point, I was kind of working two full-time jobs, because what I would do see is I'd get up at about 5 o'clock in the morning and I'd work on the channel between about 5 and 7:30. I'd then go and do my day job between like 8 and 4. I'd come home, I'd spend time with the family, and then in the evenings between about 8 and 10 p.m. I'd do a whole bunch more work, not to mention that in every lunch break I'd be answering comments on the YouTube and plotting out and planning the next video, and sometimes even shooting videos. If you go back 5 years, you'll see me wandering around the streets recording videos, because I was a mobile creator and that's what it was about. I was recording videos about creating on your mobile, on my mobile, in my lunch break. So I thought that was kind of pretty cool. I should do more of that these days. I don't have to, but I should. So I started transitioning towards this new world, this new life, where I would only be doing the one full-time job. And I thought, this is going to be lovely. This is going to be great. It got to September of that year. Everything finished off. This was September of 2020. It all ended, and I was out there on my own. I was Pete Johns, trading as Studio Live Today, small business owner, full-time content creator and YouTuber. And that's where we are here now. It is now April of 2024, and there's been swings and roundabouts. I'm not saying it's all been smooth sailing, but like anything, you ride the waves, you ride the ups, you ride the downs, and as long as everything's going reasonably smoothly and you don't, you know, Titanic-style crash on one of those waves or icebergs, then you're good. And that's where we find ourselves now. So that's the short version. I know, you're like, can we get onto these points now, Johns? We can. And let's start with point number one. Before you quit your job and decide to do this full time, you got to think about the fact that there's a lot of administration that goes into this. I know, You might be thinking, it's a creative endeavor. It's all about the music creating, and you get to play with cool gear and look at microphones and look at cameras and gear and record and edit. Yes, that's part of it. We'll get to that. But there's also a lot of admin. You know how I said I'm Pete Johns trading as Studio Live Today? Yes, guess what? Studio Live Today, the business has to do it. It has to be a registered Australian business. It has to be registered as a sole trader. I have tax commitments. I have to pay quarterly tax and do a tax return at the end of the year for the business. I have to track all expenses. So every time I buy something for the business, every time I make a single cent or dollar, I have to track that. So there is a lot of administration that goes along behind the scenes. There's also a lot of emails. There's a lot of liaising with different people, with sponsors, with other companies. There's a lot of that that goes into it. But the first thing I really wanted to flag is that if you think you're getting away from, say your job is like an office admin job or a knowledge worker job, and you're like, man, you know what? I don't like sitting in Outlook all day and crunching numbers in spreadsheets. Well, yeah, I'm not saying you're going to have to do that all day, every day, but there is a component of that. And even if you're saying, well, I'm going to be a musician, a touring musician, yeah. Have you organized a tour lately? No, you probably haven't. But tour managers have a lot of work to do. And if you are a one person or one man or one lady band, you need to do all that yourself, unless you hire someone to do it, which if you're out on your own starting out, you probably can't afford to hire someone to do all of this stuff for you. So just consider that. Doesn't mean you have to not do anything and just say, no, I'm never going to do it because I don't want to do the admin. Yeah, but just keep it in mind, because a lot of people get into this, they do it for a couple of months, and then they're like, what? I have to pay taxes on this income? What? I should have been tracking all my expenses? What? I have to answer emails every... Yeah, you do. Which leads me to number two, which is communication. Yeah, there's an awful lot of communication. You might think, John's sole trader, does everything himself, doesn't have to worry about anything. But there's people to communicate with. I talked about it in my opening. There's the community. There is having two-way conversations. There's organizing to get people on for interviews and talk to people. There's reaching out to people who maybe have done this for longer and have more experience to get ideas and to get suggestions. There's helping and mentoring others, which I think is a crucial part of any of this. I wouldn't be doing this podcast right now if I didn't want to help you and people like you who are considering this. So there's a lot of communication that goes on. And I probably naively thought, beautiful, job by myself, don't have to rely on anyone. I don't have to liaise with anyone. Don't have to listen to anyone. I can be my own boss. And yes, you can. And I am. And I enjoy all those components. Before you think, oh, you're poo-pooing on your own job, why do you even do it? No, I do enjoy all of those factors, but I just want to make it really clear that it's not like you can just be a hermit. I mean, you probably could if you wanted to, but then you'd probably be one of those people creating those AI-generated text-to-speech videos that I just really dislike. So you probably need to do some communication. Let's talk about sponsors. So people think sponsors and brand deals and the like. We're going in no particular order here, by the way. I just noted down 10 things. So sponsorships. I'm very lucky that I've had some really cool sponsorships over the time of doing this channel. And sponsorships come in different ways. I should really just say partnerships, because some of them are monetary. Some of them are support. Some of them are providing you with products or services. So again, I've been super lucky that companies like IK Multimedia are amazing. And I've done reviews of a whole bunch of IK Multimedia gear, all the iRigs. I use them. I love them. I recommend them. And they've sent them to me to review and to use. And that's been a wonderful relationship. Again, back to that communication, a wonderful relationship that I've had here. DistroKid, they sponsor your music live every week and have done for 2 years now. So they provide me with the ability to do a show that I just really wouldn't be able to do, because it's not the sort of show that I monetize. I don't get advertising, and we will talk about advertising in a moment. I don't get YouTube advertising on that show. I have it all turned off, but I do have DistroKid as the sponsor, who are, as many of you know, a wonderful music distribution platform that you can use to get your music out there to the world. And that's the thing. The sponsors that I've chosen to work with, every time I've been approached by someone and it hasn't felt quite right, I've had that gut feeling that, maybe not, and then I go forward with it anyway, it's never worked out. And I don't know if that's a self-fulfilling prophecy, that maybe my attitude is having a part of that, but I honestly think that the best sponsors I've had are people like DistroKid, BandLab, who sponsored some shows and some videos here on the channel, IK Multimedia, even Apple, who are not a sponsor but are a partner. They've provided me with some gear in the past that I've used to show you how we can create, record, and release music. So having those sponsors and partners on board is, again, it's a great thing, but it does require a lot of work. It's admin and it's communication. See how everything links? See how everything is not separate? It's all just together. That's why I wanted to talk about this here today, because, again, I didn't think about all these things. I didn't even think to start with that I would need brand deals and sponsorships, because I was like, I'll be right just on YouTube AdSense revenue. Yeah, not so much. In fact, why don't we talk about that? Why don't we talk about advertising and AdSense? So if you weren't aware, a lot of people have this misconception of how YouTube works. They think that all you got to do, see, is put videos out there, get lots and lots of views, and then YouTube will pay you lots of money for doing it. Does it actually work that way? Here's how it works. You apply to be part of the YouTube Partner Program. Now, to do that, at the time of this recording, you need to have 4,000 watch hours, 1,000 subscribers. There's a few little thresholds that you need to get over before you join that Partner Program. And once you're part of the Partner Program, when you are putting videos out, then ads may be placed against your videos. So if 1,000 people watch your video, not everyone's going to get an ad, but let's just say that half of them, 500 people, get served an ad, of which 50 people click the ad or let the ad play, well, that's going to be your monetized views. So even if you get 1,000 views, you may only have 50 monetized views. And if people are using, say, YouTube Premium, you do get a cut of that. It gets a little bit common. We won't get into the weeds of it, but just keep in mind that that's how it works. Now, that means that you have to not only create video content that is popular, that enough people are watching, but it's going to be lucrative for advertisers. So it's going to be the sort of content that advertisers are going to want to buy ads on, which is not always the case. If it's controversial topics or if it's, you know, focused on particular things, that might not be the case. And then there's got to be enough advertisers that are actually going to buy ads for those videos. So what we saw is at the start of 2020, when all things started happening, yeah, a lot of different companies, and you can think of the sort of companies that would, software companies, Zoom, Skype, places where, yeah, people were working from home and they wanted to do things. People like companies selling audio gear and video gear and computer gear, they were all advertising like mad, which meant YouTube folks like me, who were creating content that was related to that stuff, we got a heap of advertising, and therefore we made more money. Simple as that. What happens when you have an economic downturn, when you have inflation and shrinkflation and all the things that have been going on in 2023 and 24, and just lack of stability in the world and all of that sort of thing? Yeah, it goes the other way. So what I'm saying by this is, even though as a YouTube content creator, you control your destiny in a certain way, in that you can make videos that you want to make, if it's successful or unsuccessful, that kind of comes down to you, algorithm and other things aside, you're still relying on the fact that the advertisers are actually going to want to advertise on your videos and that they're going to have enough money to do so. So it'll change. And it has changed for me. Don't worry. You don't have to get a little violin out for me. I knew this going in, that you got to ride the good times. What do they say? Make hay while the sun shines, because as soon as winter is coming, yeah, things can go pretty down pretty quickly. And we're not talking, you know, 5-10% variation. We're talking 50-100% variation. It's kind of unheard of in other businesses. So it's something you do have to think about before you dive into this sort of stuff, or your mental health is going to be affected. Let's get serious for a second here. I know I like to have a bit of fun and talk things through here. It takes a lot of focus on mental health to be able to work solo, because you are alone, because you are responsible. They say that the reason CEOs get paid so much money is not the work that they do, it's the accountability and responsibility that they have for the outcome. And it's kind of similar when you're a sole trader or when you're someone that goes into business for yourself. Buck stops with you, buddy. And if you don't have that mental strength to push through, to know what you need to do, to stay motivated, to stay resilient, to just keep pushing, And also to know when you're at overwhelm so that you don't keep pushing and burn yourself out, it can be a really hard thing to do. And one of the big adjustments, and I knew this would be an adjustment, even for me, I loved working alone. I loved controlling, like I loved managing different programs because I got to, you know, not completely, there were still bosses above me that said, deliver this, Johns, do this, Johns. But I got to kind of control and have a little control over what I was doing. And I thought, yeah, I'll be fine going into an environment where it's just me because I'll get to control everything. But I got to admit, even for a card-carrying introvert like myself, the lack of direction, the lack of having someone taking any level of accountability or responsibility from you can actually have a significant impact on your mental health. And as someone who has struggled with anxiety in the past and still, because you don't fix anxiety, you cope with anxiety. So there's been anxious moments. There's been times where stuff's been going on in my life that has really impacted my ability to work. And if you're in a work environment where you're paid a salary by a boss, you go, hello, boss? Yeah. I've got a serious family issue. Yeah. I've got a health problem in my family. Yeah. And they're like, cool, take a week off, use your sick leave and come back later. Or I need to take a holiday because I need to just take a week off because mental health is struggling. And they're like, yep, here, you got 4 weeks of annual leave a year. You can take that. And apologies to my American friends. I know you generally don't have 4 weeks of annual leave, but people that live in Australia and other developed countries, we do. Was that just a backhanded insult to Americans? I apologize. I actually feel genuinely sad because I think things like mandatory annual leave and sick leave, maternity leave, even mental health leave. I had a thing with my team when I worked because I was pretty serious about mental health. And I, even though the organization I worked for was as well, they hadn't quite got to the level that I would have liked. So I did have a cheeky little deal with my team where when they were sick, that was fine. But I didn't do the whole go to the doctor and get a medical certificate because I knew sometimes they'd had a really hard week and they just needed a day. They just needed a doona day. They needed a day where they stay in bed and didn't do anything. And some of the best businesses that I've studied and companies I've worked for, or not worked for, but worked next to or known of, have things like that where they have mental health policies where they're like, you know what? Yeah, five times a year, you've got the option to just bring up and say, look, and here's the thing, it's a good thing because people will then design it around their work. They'll say, hey, boss, it's Friday. I've actually got no meetings today and I've done all my work for the week. I'm having a doona day. And they're like, cool, see you Monday. Whereas in the old system, they'd probably leave a whole bunch of work not done and then call in sick, so sick. And then the boss was like, oh, God, okay, now I've got to mop up this mess. So my team knew, they knew the deal. So I say all that to say, mental health, something that's going in, like, you know, not like you have to be all organized, like, I'm going to put a mental health plan into place and know exactly that. You'll make mistakes, but don't underestimate it. Don't just go in thinking, hey, this is going to be fun time, party time, all the time. There are going to be times where you're like, things are not going the way that I planned them to, and I'm struggling with that. I'm struggling for motivation, which is the next thing we're going to talk about, motivation number six. So this is all related. Again, all these things are very closely related, but getting motivated. And look, I'm motivated mostly by a routine. So you may not be. You may be motivated by freedom, but I'll give you this warning that if you are the sort of person that loves freedom and loves the ability to do what you want and when you want, yeah, being a sole trader, being a small business owner may not be for you. Because there are certain things you need to do by certain times. For instance, I can't not file my tax return by the due date. Otherwise, I get into serious trouble. And for me, I cannot, if I'm doing a daily video, I can't go, I'll just wait and do two videos tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. YouTube punish you for that sort of thing. So you do need to have the motivation and be a self-starter to enable you to actually get stuff done. So I do it by having specific things. I'm sitting here and it's Thursday morning at 10 a.m. because this is when I record my podcast, Thursday morning. And I've just done my mailing newsletter. And as soon as I do this podcast, I upload it, I add that to the newsletter, and then that goes out tonight because this podcast comes out on a Friday morning here in Australia. And I've already got my live stream set up for the Happy Hour, for Your Music Live, and for GarageBand Weekly, because they're my three other shows that I do every weekend. And having that routine, that structure, that schedule, or schedule as we say in Australia, is really important, because if you don't, you'll get up in the morning, and it's hard enough when you've got a job where you've got a boss breathing down your neck saying, get that TPS report on my desk by 5 p.m., Johns. But when it's yourself, you just get up and you're like, might just go and play some PlayStation. I might just go, it's a lovely sunny day, I might just go for a walk. And it is. I'm sitting here in my studio cave under the lights and in front of the green screen, and it's beautiful out there. But it'll feel even better and still be beautiful at 1 o'clock when I go for my lunchtime walk after I've got all of my work done. So motivation can be tough. So having a plan of how you're going to get things done and not just going in with, oh, it'll be wonderful because of the freedom. Yes, it is. And you know what? If I had commitments today, if I had to go and do stuff today, I can shift things around. I can record the podcast on a Wednesday night if I don't have ability to do it on Thursday morning. But I need to plan that in advance, because I can't get to Thursday and then go, oh yeah, I got that thing at my kid's school, so I can't record the podcast. So I'll record it Friday. Oh wait, it's got to come out Friday. I can't record it Friday. Well, when am I going to record the podcast? So it's about being a little bit planned. And look, I'm not saying that you have to. I used to really dislike it in the corporate world where you'd have to have like your 12-month and your 3-year and your 5-year plan. It's like, I got no flipping idea what's going to happen in 5 years, and neither do you, and neither does anyone, and neither does the business. So don't go, YouTube may be very different or not even exist. Like TikTok didn't exist 5 years ago, and now it's one of the biggest platforms in the world. The physical media world 10 years ago, if you were selling music, you'd sell it on CD. Now, not many people sell CDs. Spotify came out of nowhere. YouTube Music, Apple Music. Who knows what the next thing is going to be? There could be something in a year's time. It could be AI Music Central that's going to be the new thing. I don't know. It's got to have AI in its name, doesn't it? Anyone else as sick of AI as I am? Or are you all in on AI? I got to admit, it's fun. AI gives you some tools and things to do work, but my goodness, the amount of things that just tacked AI onto their name now and think that they're suddenly so much better because they have the word AI in them, it's a bit of a worry. Although, maybe AI can help you if you are lacking in the next one, which is number 7, which is technical skills. Yeah, guess what? You got to have the skills to pay the bills. Yeah. And technical skills when it comes to doing this sort of thing is not only what we've already talked about, the ability to have a website, the ability to answer your email, the communication skills to be able to communicate with people, to deliver on what you promise that you'll deliver on. But it's also the stuff you're demonstrating, because you got to be constantly learning. My channel was mostly about GarageBand and mobile recording. And then guess what? Logic Pro for iOS came out. Had to learn a whole new digital audio workstation, as well as make videos about it. So yeah, you do need to be someone who loves to learn, who loves to engage with people about what you're learning and sharing, and have the humility to know that you're not going to be an expert all the time. I've always said that as soon as folks say that they're an expert and there's nothing left to learn, they've lost. And it's the same with being, if you want to be a full-time content creator or a full-time musician, guess what? If you're a full-time musician 20 years ago, you probably could have just been. If you got a record deal, you recorded with a label, you sold 1 million records, you make enough money to live. These days, you're streaming. If you're streaming 10 million of every song you put out there, you're still not probably making a living wage. You need to do things like merchandise. You need to learn how to set up a merch store. You need to do things like get a distributor. You need to do live shows and touring and maybe live streamed concerts. And so there's a lot of things that you need to learn. Luckily, the good news is, guess what? You're a YouTuber, but most of my learning comes from YouTube. So if I need to learn how to do something, I go to YouTube to learn the thing that I can then do. So a lot of the live streaming stuff I've learned from folks like Nick and Dean Nimmin and Sean Cannell and all these folks that have done videos about how to do the things that I'm now doing. And I've taken little bits of what they've taught me. I don't replicate everything, because everyone's going to be different. My live streams, my podcasts, my videos are going to be different from everyone else's. But you still need to spend that time learning what are the best practices. You don't need to reinvent the wheel on everything. And the good news is that you can learn those technical skills, the hard skills, and the soft skills, what we call the soft skills, by just doing, by learning from other people and then doing. And the number one thing with the technical skills is to keep doing it. Repetition, keep repeating the same thing, and you will get better. I've always said that no one starts learning guitar, learns for a year, and then goes, oh, now I'm worse at guitar than I was. No, you just need to practice. Practice makes progress. It's such an important saying. I think there's a shirt with that on there over at the merch store. At least there was. I'm not sure if we're still selling it. By the way, if you do want to buy some merch, some Studio Live Today merch, you can head on over to studiolivetoday.com/merch, which is one of the ways that I am able to do this business full time. You know what I do need though? I need some resilience, because some weeks I don't sell a shirt. Some months I don't sell a shirt on my merch store. Some months I have a really good month where I get some good brand deals and sponsorships and get stuff sent to me and the views are going up and the advertisers are all happy. And some months it's crickets. So you know what I need? I need number 8. I need resilience. I need the resilience to keep going when the chips are down, when things are not going well. And I've always said, resilience is not about how you react and respond when things are going great. Anyone can ride the wave when the wave is going in the right direction. It's when you crash back down into the shore. That's when you need the resilience to be able to say, I trust my process, I trust the system, I'm going to keep doing my thing. And look, that's not saying, you know, blindly just put the blinkers on and say, if I just keep doing it. No, because then if you're not listening and you're not watching out for the changes, we'll talk about that in a minute. If you're not watching for the changes, then you're not going to be able to adapt when things change. You're not going to be able to do things differently when it's required. For instance, the videos are changing. Remember YouTube 5 years ago? Remember 2019 YouTube, where everyone was yelling, and I got into it. Everyone was yelling and everyone was like, hi guys, don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and smash that like button and smash the bell. And everything was like, it was all lights and cameras and action. And anyway, and look, there's still some of that. Some YouTube content creators are still doing a bit more of that. But these days, what people seem to be more engaged with are things like video essays, slightly slower paced things that you can delve into and really get into. Not for everyone, but you would see, if you go onto YouTube now, you see a lot more 20 and 30 and 40 and hour long videos where it's people pointing at their face and telling a story, maybe with some B-roll thrown in, but it's not fast jump cuts every 5 seconds or half a second in the case of some of those. And the emergence of short videos. So having the resilience to go, okay, shorts are a thing. Do I try it? Sure. Is it going to work for me? Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe you try different things. So don't hear what I'm not saying from the whole resilience means you just keep tacking and keep pointing in the same direction. But in some ways it does. Because what you can't do is be disheartened. The reason that this is episode 64 of season 2 of this podcast format is that I've been doing podcasts for years now. I've a couple of hundred episodes in. We did the original version, which was the creator town hall, like the home studio Q&A, creator town hall style. And now we're doing this, which is more of a traditional kind of podcast where we tackle a different topic every week. And look, are my podcast numbers amazing? No. They're not. There's about 50 to 100 people that listen to the audio version and maybe 500 to 1,000 views that we get on the YouTube, but that's still pretty good. And hey, I put it this way, that if I do this every week, sometimes we get one, sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 20 folks that discover this wonderful community of ours through me being as resilient as I can and showing up every week and putting out a new podcast. And sometimes the topic will not interest people. Sometimes I talk about Apple stuff or the VR headsets or AI or whatever else, and people are not interested. Sometimes I talk about GarageBand and people are like, I'm not a GarageBand user. Sometimes I talk about stuff like this and folks will say, I have zero interest. There's someone that saw this thumbnail and went, that looks like clickbait. I've got zero interest in finding out why that bloke with the beard quit his job. And they didn't watch or listen to this episode. And that's totally fine. But if I don't put it out there, then there's probably someone who's sitting there on the fence who's either about to take the plunge and doesn't know all this stuff. And now they're like, oh, not that they're going to hesitate and not do things that they want to do, but maybe they'll put a bit of a plan in place before they jump in blindly. Because life is about change, isn't it? Yeah, there's change everywhere. Some bloke wrote a song once that said, the only thing that doesn't change is that things will change. Yes, that's my song. It's called Things Change. You can check that out at petejohns.com. That's where you find all my music, people, because I love to release music as well as help folks create, record, and release their best music. So things will change, and keeping your finger on the pulse as much as possible is important. You don't have to be up with every trend. In fact, if you are a trend follower, you're probably going to struggle. We've all seen those people online that if you go back 5 years ago, they were a drop shipping expert and they were using Shopify and trying to sell courses on that. And then 3 years ago, they were suddenly an NFT and cryptocurrency expert and they were trying to sell people on that. And now they're an AI expert and they're trying to sell people on that. They're following the trends. And look, there's a certain amount of that. Did I talk about NFTs 3 years ago and their impact on the music industry? You bet I did, because people were looking for information. Was I very glowing about NFTs and their future? Not so much, but it was an important topic that we addressed. Am I talking about AI and the impact that artificial intelligence has on music and the future of music creation and production, as well as the future of all creative endeavors? You better believe I am. But am I changing it to studio AI today and doing everything AI? No, of course not, because that would be completely abandoning what has been successful for me. And the thing about change is you need to embrace change. But if you frequently change yourself and you try to change up so much, people are not going to be able to follow you. And that's the thing. Whether you like it or not, when you become a content creator or a musician or anyone doing any sort of business or side hustle, your business, your brand has a reputation and people value that reputation. And it's actually the one thing that people don't think about enough. And when you damage that, there's really no coming back. So when you are thinking about a brand deal and you're going to work with that online game company that you don't personally agree with because they shaft people with microtransactions, but they drive a dump truck of money up to you and back it up and say $1,000 if you mention name of game I shall not mention, then yeah, maybe you consider that. But guess what? As soon as you get the reputation for the person who takes every sponsorship deal, including the dodgy ones, and then people start using those recommendations and it goes bad, it's really hard to come back from that. So embracing the change, but not just changing because there's something new and shiny there. It can be a tough balance to hit because you want consistency and variety. But sometimes those are at opposing ends of the spectrum. We are coming to a close here. If you're watching the video version and you like what you've heard, please hit the like button down below. Please leave a comment as well. I love your comments. Let me know, what do you agree with? What do you disagree with? What's your experience been like? Have I encouraged or discouraged you from quitting your job and becoming a full-time musician, content creator, or I don't know, sous chef, whatever you dig, whatever you want to do with your life. The last one I want to talk about here is people. People is at the key of everything. And as much as you think that there's jobs that don't involve people, every job involves people. I used to say this when I was in the corporate world, when people said, my job, I'm not customer facing. I used to hate that term. My job isn't customer facing. I work in accounts. Yeah, but guess what? If people don't get the right bills at the right time, they're not going to be happy. You are directly impacting people if you work in accounts. Oh, but I work in HR. I work in people and resources. I'm not customer facing. I'm internal. Yeah, guess what? You hire the wrong customer service people. Customers don't get the right experience. That's on you. So everything is about people. It's the same with a job here. As much as you might think that sometimes social media, what do they call it? The parasocial relationship. As much as you might think that it's a one-way street, that you can just push things out to the world and then people could yell back and it's into a vacuum because you don't have to listen to it, it's not really the case. Now, if they're being abusive and if they're saying inappropriate things, yeah, you got to know what to listen to and what to not. You can't read every comment. If you're like me and you do read every comment and you see something that's unsavory, you're allowed to delete it. It's not a democracy, it's a petocracy. because of my mental health, because of my resilience and because of my ability to deal with change, I need to protect myself. And if someone's leaving comments that are either not based on reality or are just abusive and don't add value, I get rid of them. So yes, you do need to cut off some people. You do need to choose the people. 99% of the people out there that engage with your stuff engage in a positive way. The 1% that come along, if you have made sure that you've trimmed off that 1% consistently, guess what? You don't have to do much work because the 99%, your people, your community that you have a two-way communication with through live streams or through your videos or through responding to comments or through answering emails or liking comments, whatever it is, they're going to come to your defense. So you kind of can go onto autopilot because once you've built a community full of really cool people, those people will bring in other cool people. And it'll also, like when people come into a community that is really mellow, that's really gelling, that's really supportive, they stand out like a sore thumb, don't they? When they're the person that says, this sucks, you suck, everything, everyone here sucks. Yeah, it's really easy because they're standing out from the crowd of other people who are like, hey, how can I help you? Hey, that was really cool. And again, this is, don't think that I'm saying that we need to embrace American Idol syndrome where everyone says, you're fabulous, you're wonderful. I mean, it was a little out of tune, but who cares? It's all just avant-garde. No, still needs realism, right? Still need to realistically give feedback. But there's a difference between saying, hey, great job, really liked your tune. I think that in this second section, you're a little flat on those notes. I'd love to hear you re-record those again and really belt them out because I think you can do it versus, man, you're so flat. That was, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? There's ways and means. There's ways to go about it. Unfortunately, some people choose the way that makes them feel good by making others feel bad. And I just don't gel with that. I can't get behind that. So if people want to do that, people, misery loves company. So they can have a big giant plom party, a poor little old me party with a bunch of other people that feel the same way, then that's fine. They can knock themselves out. And you and I and all the cool people will hang around here and we'll eat cake. How does that sound? I think that sounds good. Speaking of eating cake, I'm going to let you go and eat some cake. Have a coffee, have some cake, have a bowl of fruit, maybe some cereal. Look, have a quiet glass of wine if it's evening time or if it's afternoon. I'm not going to judge. But I do thank you for being here. I hope you found this one a little thought-provoking because I know it affects almost everyone, whether you are just starting out in your career, whether you're in the middle of the career, whether you love your job or hate your job, whether you're doing a side hustle, considering a side hustle, you're thinking of quitting your job, or you absolutely hate your job and you want to get out in any way possible, hopefully there's something here for everyone to just help you consider that. And I know, look, I know the title was a little clickbaity where it said, why I quit and you shouldn't. But again, you do you. I just think that sometimes people make decisions without factoring in all of the potential consequences. And look, you can listen to all the consequences and still say, I'm going to do it anyway. That's also fine. But as long as you go in with your eyes wide open and not be closed off to what might actually potentially happen, I think you're going to be fine. Thank you for watching or listening to this one. If you are watching the video version, thumbs up would be appreciated. Comment down below. Check out all the ways you can support me and the channel down in the description. On the audio version, again, leave a review or a rating on your podcatcher player device of choice. And head over to studiolivetoday.com. I've got a whole bunch of cool stuff there. I've got my gear guide that can help you get the right gear to record. We've got a whole bunch of playlists of tutorial videos on the YouTube channel and ways to follow me on places like Facebook and Instagram as well. We're going to say what we say at the end of each and every show now, which is, please, folks, be kind to yourself, be kind to others, keep creating. I'll see you next time right here on the Studio Live Today podcast.